Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning. Roy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm getting there, buddy.
I hear you. Roy's a little under the weather. I made him stay home. We had such a good show last week when we were in different rooms that I said, hey, let's just go for two in a row. And I hope you feel better, Roy. I know what you're going through. It's nothing worse than some tough intestinal problems.
Yeah.
But hey, you know
what? In case anyone was wondering what it was.
Yeah.
There it is.
Well, you're doing good. You're doing good. Right. You sound good.
Yeah, well, you know.
You sound great. There's so much going on right now in the world. You know, the Blade Runner, you know, fires four through a bathroom door and kills a gorgeous fiance.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about that because that is just some strange stuff. And it always seems like it's like every week something worse happens. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, last night. The slam dunk competition in the NBA All-Star Game festivities was so bad until the end that it's just not worth watching. And
that
you know what?
So bad.
First time, you know, we're talking earlier today and through Matt, and I'm going, yeah, you just talk about festivities. Roy's like, why?
Yeah.
It's like nobody cares.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about how terrible it was.
Yeah, it was bad, but everybody's talking about that anyway. Yeah,
good all-star anything these days.
Well, who would go to the, they're talking about stopping the Pro Bowl in the NFL anyway, but who would go to the Pro Bowl if practice squad players were playing? Because that's who's in the slam dunk competition. Like, the guys that are like, 8th, 9th, 10th, 14th on their benches. We don't care about those guys.
Yeah, I mean, there was some talent in it, but it's not your big names. That's the problem with the slam dunk contest. It used to be Jordan.
It was unbelievable.
Kobe did it. Wilkins. You know, I mean, there were the big names.
Dr. J.
Howard. I mean, even like sometimes, you know.
Howard.
So, Dwight Howard did it a couple years ago.
I know.
Blake Griffin did it a couple years ago. So you've had the big names in the competition, and everyone points to the same people when they're talking about this, and it's always LeBron James. You know, if the biggest name in basketball won't do your slam dunk contest, whereas you can't say that he's too good for it because the greatest basketball player of all time did the slam dunk contest.
Absolutely. And you know what? When they started that was what it was about. A couple of years, Magic did it. And Magic wasn't known for his dunking ability, but he was 6'10", and he could dunk. I mean, he had some great stuff, you know. But, I mean, Michael Jordan.
You know?
I watched Dominique Wilkins when he was in junior high school and high school. He played in Little Washington, North Carolina. And that's 20 miles kind of northeast of Greenville, where East Carolina University is. And we heard about this team that had three kids from New York City on it, and Dominique was one of them. And we would go up and watch these guys win 120-15. And they would just go up and down the court slamming it. Now, one year they changed the rules, and they weren't allowed to dunk. And I can't remember when that was, because this was like mid-70s, late 70s, if you know what I mean. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce. I'm talking to my fella Roy G, Roy Edwards, who is home today. But, you know, you're right. Isn't the technology great? Because it's just like you're sitting here, only I don't have to look at your handsome face.
He's like, great. I'm sick. But
hey, listen,
have to work.
let me plug technology something real quick. We're going to, you know, there's a lot of news. And what's amazing is how much publicity there has been made and what a negative reaction the entire world, not just the United States, but the entire world is starting to have about the IOC's decision to not have even one form of Olympic wrestling in 2020. Now, hey, I'm sorry, but it's like one of the oldest sports ever. It is one of the oldest sports in Olympic history. Even ancient Romans, ancient Greeks, they wrestled and they ran the marathon. I mean, they made sure they did that stuff. They threw the discus. I'm pretty sure. It's something like the discus, probably a big rock that looked like a discus. But my point is, I'm going to have Cale Sanderson on the second half hour of the show, and Cale's going to come on, and we're going to talk about this decision and what you can do to help Cale and the wrestling community and Dan Gable and everybody else and me. I coached high school wrestling for the past 6 years. I coached it off and on my entire quote-unquote career in coaching. And I wrestled in high school and college. And let me tell you, that is a tight fraternity, Roy. I mean, everybody knows how hard wrestling is. All you have to do is talk to a basketball player or a football player or a track guy or a soccer player, and they'll tell you why they don't wrestle. It's too damn hard. Because you have to train so hard to be able to go 6 minutes and be and not get tired, not get gassed. And that's what we do. And it also does a lot of things for young kids that are like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. They compete in wrestling because it allows them to get some of that testosterone that's building up inside them out. There's nothing better than getting a killer workout, taking a shower, going home, doing your homework, and passing out before 2 o'clock in the morning playing video games. And there's a lot to this. You know, a lot of people don't want to give up the video games. Well, if you wrestle in high school, guess what? You're going to have to give up something because you're going to bed early. but these kids also have to get up real early in high school. College, the NCAA, there's a lot we're going to talk about with Cale. I don't want to spoil it all, but I can't tell you how excited I am. That would be like a football player, having Gale Sayers come on the show. Cale Sanderson, only wrestler in the history of the NCAA to go undefeated in 4 years. He won a gold medal in Athens in 2004. He coached at Iowa State University. When he got out of college for 3 years, they won 3 Big 12 championships there. He moved to Penn State University, where he's won the last two. He's only been there 3 years. And now Penn State University, they did lose a duel this year to Iowa, but Iowa's always strong. They got, Tommy Brands coaches them. Tommy Brands is an Olympic gold medalist from 96. I saw him wrestle in Atlanta. I mean, it doesn't get better than what we're going to do second half. We're also going to talk about the Jets a little bit. We're going to talk about the Giants. We're going to talk about the Mets. We're going to talk about the Yankees. We got to talk about the Yankees and the Mets. Two teams going kind of, in my opinion, a little bit to hell in a handbasket. It seems like. But they're doing it in different ways. One team isn't going to spend any money and is going to cut costs, continue to, although, from what I understand, Mr. Wilpon has money now, is what he says. He says he's debt-free. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
With all the fines and stuff. I mean, don't those fines last for years?
If he says he must have had a good, 2012 season if he's debt-free, because he was – bankrupt a year ago.
Well,
so.
they're terrible. I mean, first of all, how do you not keep the knuckleballer? How do you not keep R.A. Dickey? He could throw 5 more years. They wouldn't pay him any money.
Yeah, speaking of R.A. Dickey and the Mets and tying that into the Yankees, Toronto is building something very quietly up north in a very good baseball team. I mean, they got Melky Cabrera up there now.
They've always had really good ownership and really good management. Always,
they've never really been I shouldn't say
well,
never.
Well, when Robert, been a no, they series, well, they won a World Series.
Yeah.
I was there in Atlanta when they beat them.
Yeah, recently, though, they haven't really made any noise. I mean, they've been kind of.
No, you're right. You're right. Well, nobody's really been able to. Between the Yankees and the Boston Red Sox, there's just not enough wins to go around. Roy, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. For the ultimate in personal jewelry service at Twin Jewelers, customers become friends and everyone gets treated like family. With locations in Yonkers and Pleasantville. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230. WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hey, Roy, it's Bruce. I'm back. I'm back, people. I got Roy. Roy's at home, and we're hanging out here, talking back and forth. By the way, Roy, I read half of Mike Piazza's book in one night, but I bought another book that's a phenomenal book, and I don't even want to say what the name of it was or someone will kill me, because everybody for 49 years that ever spoke badly of this former politician who, now there's a book out that's 600-700 pages that basically just explains how this vice president murdered his own president. It's a pretty good book. I'm about 3/4 of the way through that. You know how I am. I'm big on that. Our kids don't learn any history. Nobody wants them to know anything. And you really can't be upset with the higher ups not wanting everybody to know how corrupt they were and how criminal the activity was back in the 50s and 60s. And it didn't really stop there, but it sure did. I'll tell you what, technology, the internet, Twitter, Facebook, you name it, just emails. You can't hide stuff from people anymore, because in a matter of a minute or two, everybody's going to know that's on their computer. And if you would elect to do something that notorious and that ridiculously evil, everybody's going to find out, and you won't make it home. Somebody will take the law into their own hands. But anyway, the book that Piazza wrote was great. The half of that I've written. Now, I noticed there was a lot of, Dodger fans, since they left Brooklyn, they're a bunch of crybabies. I mean, ever since the Dodgers moved to L.A., that is the biggest bunch of crybabies I've ever watched, listened to, studied. All they do is bitch about stuff. And evidently, Vin Scully, who's God, if you're a Los Angeles Dodger fan, and Vin Scully, he's in the Hall of Fame, Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm pretty sure he's in the Baseball Hall of Fame, because he's got to be 82, 83 years old. But Vin Scully can't say anything bad about that. You know what he is? He's a friggin' homer. I get tired of listening to Vin Scully because he says some of the nastiest stuff in the world about the other teams, especially the Giants. And I'm a Giant fan.
Yeah.
So, if you follow me on Twitter at Bruce Hall Sports, and the Giants are playing the Dodgers, you probably see 20 tweets from me, and 19 of them are probably calling Vin Scully a four-letter word, or using four-letter words. Probably the words I use to describe him are a lot bigger and cleaner. Because, you got to have respect for the guy. He's a one-man show. Now, look, you've sat with me at games. I can do color and play-by-play at the same time. It's not that hard. He does it. You know why he's only got one guy in the booth? They can't afford another guy because he makes so much money. I'm going to tell you, he ain't that good anymore. I listen to him. He's fine. For his age, he's incredible. But there are guys out there better than him. A lot better than him. And some of the guys are, here on the East Coast. There are some great sportscasters on the East Coast. And I'm excited about it. We're going to take a look at the NFC East and the AFC East today, Roy. And all right. I think we ought to just get started with that now, because at 10:30, I've got Jess Roots going to call in, and he's going to talk about the Arizona Diamondbacks, spring training in Arizona, and the Cards, who have, this year's basically the coach of the year, Bruce Arians. I mean, Bruce Arians, what did he not do this year? He even got sick and got violently ill for a while at the end of the season. I guess he just did too much, and it was too much for him, but made himself sick. But, what he did with the Indianapolis Colts, going from, what, 2 wins to 11? Has that ever happened before? No. No one has improved 9 games in 1 year.
And he wasn't even he wasn't even the head coach.
Yeah, he took over for a guy that had cancer, in Pittsburgh, Arians was there for a long time. Now, if you look at Pittsburgh coaching and you look at their staff, even now, there's only a couple guys there that have come on in the last 2 or 3 years. All of their coaches have been there longer than Tomlin has been head coach. They do not make changes. You know why? Because evidently familiarity works for them. You know, knowing what the coaching philosophy is, what the style is, and when it works and you go to playoffs and you win Super Bowls, you know, why break it if it's, you know, and why fix it if it's not broke? I love what they do. What, I mean, what do you feel about it? I know you're a big Raven fan, not a huge Raven fan, but you are a Raven fan. I mean, I know your better half is a huge Raven fan.
Yeah. That's the more important thing there.
Exactly. But why in the world, why do you think Pittsburgh has had all of this success for as long as they've had it?
Well, they do things the old school way. They build through the draft. They don't go after big name splashes. And in a modern day football, they stay relatively under the cap and they fly low. They go after the young talent, which now this upcoming season is going to be a huge free agency year where we're starting to see teams that were in trouble with the collective bargaining agreement between the Players Association and, you know, since the lockout, having to cut guys, release guys, void contracts to get completely under the new cap that's going through. Like you mentioned, the Colts, Dwight Freeney got released by the Colts, who should have retired a Colt. I mean, the guy is one of the greatest, you know, defensive ends of all time. And he's sitting here a free agent now in his later years and is going to get picked up by somebody for a ridiculous contract. And he's probably going to go out, you know, somewhere in maybe in Arizona or something like that.
They could use him in Atlanta. I mean, you know, yeah. Because Abraham's about half a guy and so's Freeney. Maybe the two of them will make a whole guy.
Well, you know, they would love to have him in Atlanta.
Of course,
and I'm sure he'd love to go to Atlanta instead of ending up somewhere else. So, but, I mean, look at the Giants. OCU Manuara gets released. Ahmad Bradshaw gets released.
JPP is like their number one guy coming back. And they let go. Didn't they let go of Boley, too? He's gone. I mean, you know, their middle linebacker's gone.
Yeah, they released like 3 or 4 guys.
Well, they needed to clean house because, in my opinion, and I know you feel this way, too, in the NFC East, it's real cyclical. The Redskins, whether you like them or not, have shown in the last, you know, 2/3 of a season that they have made the right changes and they are getting the job done for a change. They still need help on the defensive side of the ball, but there's nothing, you know, I've looked at the, if you look at the schedules that just came out, you know, the Redskins schedule's about .500, their opponents next year. So they've got a good shot at winning 9 or 10 games again. The Giants, if they clean house, I looked at their schedule. Now, their schedule isn't that tough either, but, you know, I don't think the Giants are going to be any better than they were last year. The Eagles have to be better. You know, they're bringing in a new coach. They only won, what, 4 games this year, 5 games? But the thing about the Eagles is they've got the organization in place. They've got muscle memory, I like to call it. They've won before, so they know how to do it.
Yeah.
And I think this guy is gonna. He may not have success right away, but if he stays there for 2 or 3 or 4 years, I think the Eagles are going to come back. I don't see anything. I mean, you know, to me, it just seems like I think the Giants are going to run into trouble next year. I think it's going to take them a good 2 to 3 years to get back where they were. Because if you look at their receivers, you know, a lot of people didn't think much of it when it happened. But remember when Mario Manningham, you know, went to San Francisco.
I thought that was a huge.
It was a huge thing. I didn't like it. I mean, as a Giant fan, and I'm not a Giant fan, but I am because I picked them last year and they won. Mm-hmm. And I like the organization. If you just take John Mara out of the equation, I don't like John Mara personally. I don't know him personally, but I don't like the way he acts. But you know what? You can't argue with what's happened in the past with the Giants because, you know, about every 10 years they end up in the Super Bowl and they are the NFL's team. I mean, make no mistake about it. It ain't the Cowboys. It's the Giants because that office is in downtown New York. And I'm telling you, when they go to Super Bowls, you can't find a ticket. because all those guys have them and all their friends have them. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking NFC East right now. Let's talk a little bit about the AFC East, Roy. Let's talk about the Jets. You know, I looked. They had a few guys, two or three guys have relocated. One, I'm sure he didn't want him to leave, the defensive coordinator who has ended up in Buffalo. Guy does a great job. If all you have to do is look at their defensive numbers, Rex will be working a lot harder this year than he did last year, personally, because he's going to have to take over that defense, in my opinion.
Which I don't think is that bad of a thing.
No, it's not. It's not, as long as there's somebody there looking at the big picture. And that's going to have to be his offensive coordinator who can do it. Marty Morningweg is there. I love Marty Morningweg.
And they're talking about Ahmad Bradshaw being a puzzle piece for the New York Jets, not having to fly that far in New York, which is the guy that Rex Ryan has been looking for. You know, he brought in Tebow after LaDainian Tomlinson couldn't work out. So
if Ahmad Bradshaw is healthy, Roy, he would be perfect for the Jets.
That is the Jets offense.
All right, we're going to be back. We're going to be back in a minute, Roy, and I will. At the turn of the hour, we're going to have my buddy Jess Root on, and then we're going to be having Kale Sanderson, head coach at Penn State University, head wrestling coach there, former Olympic champion. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I've got Jess Root on the line, Roy. Hey, Jess, you there?
I am.
That's great. Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it. I'm getting ready to see you here in a couple of weeks. I'll be heading out there the 17th, and I'll be out there till about the 25th. We'll have to go to my favorite Italian restaurant, and I'll buy you lunch again, and we'll just sit and talk sports. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Hey, listen, talk to me a little bit about the Diamondbacks, because, you know, they took a year off last year. They had some problems. They didn't hit the ball. The year before, they're in the playoffs, and, of course, part of that was the San Francisco Giants got well. That didn't hurt. But, you know, as far as hurting them, what are you seeing about the what are you seeing the Diamondbacks at now, and what does their lineup look like?
Well, they actually had a really interesting offseason in the fact that they took their most talented player overall in Justin Upton and moved him, which was almost a necessity after 3 years of trade rumors. They put together it's kind of the epitome of Kirk Gibson. It's their veteran gritty. They've got some young players, but some really gritty players. And Kevin Towers likes to put together a team that doesn't strike out a lot. They're going to put the bat on the ball. I don't know how good they're going to be offensively. A lot of things have to go right for that offense to come together.
Right.
But they're going to really bank on that off their pitching staff and their bullpen. Their bullpen could be very, very good. The pitching staff, they need Ian Kennedy to pitch like he did 2 years ago. Or he doesn't have to be like he was 2 years ago.
Right.
Somewhere in between 2011 and 2012. Would be fabulous. They need Brandon McCarthy to come through. They need Trevor Cahill to pitch better than last year. But they're leaning on that pitching staff. And their lineup from top to bottom is actually, they've got some threats.
Yeah, it looks pretty well balanced to me. I mean, they picked Cody Ross up, which is interesting because they've got Jason Kubel on the, you know, on the team. He's an everyday player, Kubel, isn't he?
He is, yes.
Yeah, and you got, you know, Gerardo Parra, who, you know, this kid can play. Is he going to play every day too? Because they've also got Hinsky, who's more of a pinch hitter type guy, but they've got a great young player in Adam Eaton. Hell, he's my son's age, for crying out loud. I mean, isn't Adam Eaton going to make the club?
Yeah, they're planning on him being their everyday center fielder.
Oh, that's great. So then they're going to probably end up doing something with somebody else, huh?
Well, they don't have to, and they're probably not going to move anybody else. They'll probably see, because Gerardo Parra can play anywhere in the outfield. He'll be outfielder number four, and they will probably get 400 at-bats, 400 to 500 at-bats out of all four of those outfielders. Last year they had guys Chris Young and Justin Upton. They would plug in the lineup every day, pretty much.
Right.
And now we've got guys that they're going to move in and out of the lineup because Parr can play anywhere on the outfield, which makes it really good. Eaton can play really anywhere in the outfield. Ross and Kubel are kind of stuck in their corner positions, but they're going to get everybody in the lineup.
Well, you know what? I know the Uptons a little bit. They're from Chesapeake. They went to Great Bridge High School. You know, obviously BJ went to two or three schools. BJ and Justin couldn't be more opposite. In my opinion, everybody's thinking that Atlanta is just going to be rocking and rolling with Jason Hayward and those two. Let me tell you something. It's going to be a lot tougher for those two kids to play ball together than people think. And everybody that knows them feels the same way. What do you think? I mean, have you heard anything about Justin since he left?
Well, the one thing I think, just no one can deny the talent that he has. And the truth is he's not a bad clubhouse guy.
He's a nice kid. He's just very shy.
He is. He had a couple of run-ins with fans, and I think had more than anything, the fans were really tough on him here when he was developing. He is going to be. He wasn't quite ready. They made him the face of the franchise. They gave him the out in right field. They put uptown, and so they dubbed him the face of the franchise. And talent-wise, he can do it, but I don't think personality-wise. He fits the, because he's a little bit more reserved. He just likes to do his work. And being there in Atlanta, where they've got BJ already, and they've got Hayward, who's already kind of the face of their franchise, and they've got other players, that Upton will be, potentially, his talent will come through without the pressure of having to be the star of the show.
Well, yeah, you know what? That's interesting you say that, because that is true. And even in the infield, you know, they've got some players in Atlanta. They got some guys getting a little bit older. But Atlanta, year after year, seems to put – they're always there at the end of the season. Whether they go to the playoffs or not is usually up to about the last two or three weeks of the season every year. But I'm really – that's still a tough division with the Washington Nationals in it. You know, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Talk to me about what they're thinking about. Do you think their pitching staff, the Diamondbacks staff, their starting staff, do you think it's strong enough to get them to the next level in the playoffs?
The potential is there. We saw Ian Kennedy be an ace. We saw what Wade Miley did last year. Brandon McCarthy and Trevor Cahill, both are very good two number three starters. And they've got they've got four guys established already in the rotation, and then they've got a fifth spot that, well, one, Daniel Hudson is going to come back midway through the year from his elbow injury.
Right.
And then they've got a stacked load of prospects of pitchers with this Tyler Skaggs, Josh Coleman, who could come up and do stuff. They've got a ton of pitchers.
When did they pick Brandon McCarthy up, Jess?
They traded him for him this offseason.
This kid's a stud if he's healthy.
Yeah, he is.
6'7", 200 pounds. Oh, he's amazing. I'm sitting here looking at their lineup. I mean, they do have the potential, like you said. Now, Montero's back. You know, he's solid. Will Nieves used to catch for the Nationals years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago. Now, let's talk real quick. What you're basically telling me is you feel like they'll be competitive, and it's really going to come down to how many wins they can put up on the board, right?
It is. Obviously, the Giants have a little bit higher ceiling on their rotation. The Dodgers have a little bit more. But if they can keep themselves in the mix until September, then anything can happen in September.
Well, the thing I like the most about Arizona is I love Gibby, and I love their, generally speaking, their chemistry is never going to be a problem because they all know what's expected of them. Real quick, before we got to go here in a couple of minutes, talk to me a little bit about the new head coach for the Cards and the changes he's made to his coaching staff.
Well, if there was any win you could have gotten out of the offseason moves of the coaches, you have to think that the Cardinals did it. There wasn't anyone really more qualified out there other than Andy Reid to get hired by the staff. I mean, he's a guy, what are the Cards looking for? They're looking to improve the offense. They're looking to develop a quarterback. And he has a track record of doing that offensively with quarterbacks. And he has head coaching experience after last year. He was the coach of the year. He's put together, his coaching staff is a great mix of of young and experienced. I mean, he brought in Tom Moore. He's not going to be he's more of an offensive consultant type thing, but he's got the assistant head coach. Harold Goodwin, they've got three guys coaching the offensive line this year. Todd Bowles, people were really, really hesitant about him.
He's a former Redskin. He knows what he's doing.
He does. He does. In fact, he was the interim head coach over there in Miami when they let Sperano go.
Right.
He almost got the defensive coordinator job when Ray Horton did. He was one of the finalists then. He has the same type of defensive philosophy. It's attacking the 3-4 base, so it's going to be a lot of the same stuff, and the talent's there. It's not like Ray Horton raised that defense up out of nobody. It was a lot of talent that he got to put together, and I think Bull's going to do the same thing. The tough part with that staff is the fact that they're in the NFC West, and they've got the Seahawks and the 49ers to deal with. But we could see a much, much better Cardinals team this year.
You know what? I wish them the best of luck. Listen, I hate to leave. Tell people how they can get a hold of you, Jess, on Twitter, and how can they follow you on your website?
Well, for Cardinals coverage, I featured on revengeofthebirds.com for the Arizona Cardinals and SB Nation Arizona for everything Arizona sports. I'm on Twitter. It's Senor Jess Roots or Revenge of Birds.
Hey, Jess, thanks so much for coming on. And we're gonna be talking more and more once the season gets started. Okay, buddy?
Sounds great.
I'll see you in a couple of weeks. All right, buddy. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute. Just one more night, and I'm coming on this long and winding
road. We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
This is Bruce Hall. We're back on my show, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, and I'm proud to have on the show right now Cale Sanderson, the head wrestling coach at Penn State University, the Olympic champion in 2004 in Athens. And Cale, I mean, we met earlier this year at a function here in Northern Virginia, and you couldn't have been. You're exactly how I perceived you. You're modest. You're great. You got it going on up at Penn State. We even had one of your kids down at Wade Chalice's camp last year work with us, and I really appreciate what that kid did for us. Real good kid. You're a big kid. You're 97 pounder.
Quentin.
Yeah, Quentin Wright.
Yeah, he's a
stud. He's a stud.
Yeah, well, this is actually his last home match today at 2 o'clock.
Now, you've got Ryder today, right?
Yeah,
right? You have Ryder?
Yes.
Now, you'll fill it up even against Ryder pretty much, won't you?
Yeah, the tickets have been sold out since before the season started this year. We only seat about 6,500 people in the arena, so it's not – you know, it's not a huge place, but it's the atmosphere is, it's fantastic.
Well, in a wrestling arena, unless it's the Nationals or something, you really don't want too big of a gym because you want everybody to have a good seat. And that's why I like the old high school gyms for wrestling as opposed to the bigger ones, the bigger field houses. Because in the old gyms, you could be in the top row and you're right on top of the mat. And I enjoy that.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, I'm a wrestling coach, but I retired as of last weekend. I had four kids that lost their last match before they qualified for states. I went to a school 5 years ago that didn't have a program, and we built a program, and now I've just got to make sure I replace myself. I'm getting too old, Cale. I'm 60. My heavyweight's 285, and he scares me. I can't get my arms around him, and when he lays on me, I can't breathe. So, you know, and I'm not small. I'm probably 2 1/4 now. But, hey, listen, let's talk about the IOC. Let's talk about what happened. I mean, everybody got woke up on Tuesday morning with tweets, emails, the whole nine yards. Now, what a lot of people don't understand about wrestling, if they don't know, and a lot of people do know this, people that know wrestling, families that know wrestlers, that know coaches, we're a pretty tight-knit group. And if you're going to take on a wrestling community by taking their sport away in the Olympics, you're probably going to be in for a fight of some type. Tell me exactly how you found out about it and what moves you've made since Tuesday to try to get everybody to understand what we need to do.
Well, Bruce, I found out about it the same way you did, just through Twitter and you know, just emails coming through and you know, that's what I woke up to Tuesday morning. And since then, you know, I'm not one of the leaders in this movement. I'm just trying to do what I can. But you know, we're just trying to get the word out there and provide you know, the addresses and emails of people that, you know, need to hear from wrestling fans, just so they know that, you know, there is a lot of support. You know, now we're in the process of doing a lot of research and going through the IOC has an evaluation criteria for sports and disciplines that they on their website, and they have you know, just for inclusion in the games, they have 7 different categories, but they have, what is it, like 74 you know, subcategories. So we're just going to go through and talk about and just come up with a document, because if you really look through these and you research them, you're talking about, you know, history and just everything, participation, popularity, you know, TV ratings, everything. If you go through, you know, we can really put a very clear argument together, just a very objective argument, you know, that wrestling does belong in the games. And, you know, I really think it is just a matter of, you know, our leadership at the FILA organization really dropping the ball and not doing and staying on top of the game and playing the politics that you know, that unfortunately you have to play at that game. But, you know, we can make a very objective argument, you know, why wrestling should be in the Olympics, and hopefully, you know, that'll help.
Well, history in itself, I mean, it's amazing how many different people. I put something together for my senior night this year, and it's amazing how many, you know, celebrities and former presidents and congressmen and senators have wrestled in high school and or college. I mean, what's amazing about wrestling to me, now I also coach baseball. I'm one of the few guys you'll ever meet that played baseball and wrestled in college. Okay, it just doesn't happen very often, but that was a long time ago. You know, I was an East Carolina University guy. The thing that is so hard about wrestling is these football players, these basketball players, you know, everybody that's ever gone in a wrestling room and tried to work out at one practice understands how hard it is. And the thing that I feel that the IOC is taking away from us, not just the sport in the Olympics, but the dreams of young kids who are good enough to maybe end up in Colorado Springs training for an Olympic. You know, I mean, these kids right now, I mean, if we're talking 2020, a lot of these kids are in high school now, or junior high school, right, Cal?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've heard from some of the recruits that we have coming in, you know, their parents are just concerned, you know, what's going on here. And it's just, they're shocked, you know, kids that have been dreaming about winning gold medals, because that's really, you want to win an NCAA championship, and that's, you know, the style that they wrestle in high school and college here, folk style. It's not an international style, but, you know, that's obviously a big, big deal. But, you know, the dream is winning a gold medal in the Olympics. That's what, you know, you get to represent your country, and you get to, you know, you get to go against the Russians and, you know, everyone else around the world and win a gold medal for your country. That's what it's, you know, that's what it's all about. And that dream, I mean, I knew as a youth I had that dream, and that's something that I pictured and visualized and saw growing up. And it's just scary, you know, to think that our kids don't have that now. You're talking about 300,000 high school wrestlers currently. So, you know, over a 10-year, it's just there's a lot of numbers there. I mean, it's easy to do the math, but there's a lot of kids, you know, that's going to, you know, it's not good news. And you know, I mean, having a goal and an idea of winning a gold medal, I mean, that keeps you in line and you do well in school and you take, you know, you stay out of trouble and, you know, it gives you something to work for and you know, to not have that, that's a big deal.
Cale, let me ask you a question. Now, this isn't the first time that the sport of wrestling has been up against an opponent. You know, even my college, we were ranked in the top 15 my junior, senior year at East Carolina. That was a long time before you were even born. I think you were born in 79. You're 33 years old. But you know, we went through a period at East Carolina where our athletic department ran into some money problems. It wasn't Title IX. Now, Title IX, there was a reason for Title IX, and I understand it. But Title IX has pretty much done its job. Yet so many Division I college programs went by the wayside with Title IX. All the Southeast Conference schools, pretty much. Half of the ACC schools. You know, I watch Big Ten wrestling every week because you guys have the best wrestling in the world right now from a standpoint of, you know, your style, folk style. I mean, to watch these guys wrestle, I have all my kids watch it. If they don't, you know, if they don't subscribe, I tell their parents to subscribe to Big Ten Network. You know, do you think that, I mean, the sport itself is growing. I read somewhere where there were, the growth was like 8% this past year or something in high school. New high schools that are being built, they've all got wrestling programs. I mean, this isn't something they can literally drop, is it?
No, wrestling, it's growing, and it doesn't take a whole lot to have a wrestling team. You know, that's part of the beauty, and it's also a sport that any kid can try, and you know, it takes hard work, you know, to be successful, but anybody can, and it doesn't matter how big you are. I mean, we have 103 is the bottom weight class in high school, 103 pounds, all the way up to, you know, 275. So, you know, you don't, it's more of a work ethic and attitude, and you know, that's going to make you successful in the sport of wrestling, versus, you know, athletic, you know, just being born a certain size, or just wrestling doesn't have those limitations. Obviously, it's a blessing to have athleticism, but it's not going to take you very far. I mean, wrestling's about, you know, it's about mental toughness and endurance, and it is a, you know, it's a physical fitness sport. I mean, it takes great discipline, and it's just a well-rounded sport that, you know, if your kids are wrestling and you put your kids in wrestling, you're going to be very happy that you did, just because, you know, it's going to make them tougher, and it, you know, there's a lot of accountability that they learn when it's a one-on-one sport, and you just can't, it's hard to get that.
Now, listen, you've been at Penn State for 3 years. You're going on your fourth year now, right?
Yep.
Now you've won two national championships at Penn State. Were those the last 2 years in a row?
Yeah. Yep.
And this year you're out for your third straight. You've had a pretty good season. It looked like you bumped heads with a pretty good Iowa team out there earlier
yep.
this year. But when are the NCAA championships so we can make sure we're watching?
Well, you know, and that's another thing, is wrestling's on TV more now than it has ever been. You know, the Big Ten Network has done a fantastic job. But the NCAA championships are in March. They're March 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
Right.
And, yes, they will be live on ESPN. I mean, that's something that, you know, 10 years ago, or even when I was in high school, you didn't see the NCAA championship. If you wanted to catch the finals, you know, it was 2 months later you know, at 3 a.m. Now they're live. So, and that doesn't happen if people aren't watching it. So there's more interest now than there's ever been in wrestling. And, you know, it's embarrassing, you know, as a wrestler and a wrestling coach to be in a position where the IOC is dropping our sport. But that's where we are. Not because of the merits of the sport. I think just because of more of the leadership.
Cale, can I get you to hold on for about 3 minutes, and we'll finish up with you when we come back? I'd love to have you for another short segment. Is that possible?
Sure, you got it.
All right, Cale. We'll be right back with Cale Sanderson, the head wrestling coach at Penn State University. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be right back.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. This is Bruce Hall. I'm talking on the line right now to Cale Sanderson, head wrestling coach at Penn State University. Cale, I'm going to talk a little bit about you, because believe it or not, there's probably a couple of people listening to the radio up in New York and Connecticut and New Jersey that might not know exactly who you are, but they will as soon as I get done. I was at the NCAA's your senior year. And I was lucky enough, a friend of mine at the time got me a pass down on the mat, and I had a camera in my hand. and I got to take pictures of every final match. I was actually a runner, but I had a camera for the matches. And I got to tell you something. That was awful exciting. Now, there weren't that many matches that you had were that close, but you were going for an NCAA record 159 straight, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. You would have been – to win that last match your senior year, and I'll never forget it. You actually busted your lip open a little bit. I couldn't believe it. You were bleeding. you were actually mortal. But I got to tell you something. You know, to this day, I use film of you to show kids where they need to ride when they're on top because I love the way you control hips and all that. But the thing I love about what you did, you won four NCAA titles. Now, my hero, and he's only a couple years older than me, was Dan Gable. And Dan Gable won, you know, two NCAA championships because you weren't allowed to wrestle your freshman year back there then in 1970, I guess it was. And then after that, Dan lost his final match against Larry Owings from the University of Washington, and he actually had a fever of 103, and he went out on the mat anyway and lost a tough match. That's not taking anything away from Owings. You went undefeated in college. It was a big deal. It was on network television. I'll never forget. I want to say it was ABC or CBS had you on, and we don't get that a lot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we get it. At ESPN, when I say we, I'm talking about wrestling. We get it for the NCAAs. Big Ten Network is just unreal, like you said before. It is so good to be able to see different Big Ten matches every week. But you won four straight years in college, and then you decided the Olympics were in 2004, and I can't remember if you were already coaching then. You must have been. You were at Iowa State, correct?
Well, I wasn't coaching. I was on staff as like a special assistant to the AD, basically. So I was assigned work as the athletic director, saw fit. But no, I wasn't actually a coach at that time.
But you were training yep. for the Olympics, and you went to Greece, went to Athens, and you won a gold medal. I mean, does it get any better than that? I mean, can you imagine anything? Is winning an NCAA championship with a bunch of guys that are jumping all over you, is that comparable to that? It's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's different. I think it's, winning four is, for me, the feeling of, you know, winning that fourth was very similar to winning a gold medal because they were both, you know, major goals and dreams. And very, you know, big feelings of peace is, I think, the best description. You just kind of, you know, you accomplish your goal of, you know, a lifelong goal, and, you know, it's a pretty good feeling, no doubt.
Now, you ended up you ended up getting the head job at Iowa State. Bobby Douglas, I guess, went into retirement. And, you know, he was a great coach, and he was your coach for 4 years. And when you ended up taking the job at Penn State University, how did that happen for you? Obviously I could see Penn State wanting you, but, you know, to move from Big 12 to Big 10, it was a move up in a way, wasn't it?
In the wrestling world, it wasn't seen as a move up just because Iowa State has a very strong history, and I'm very proud to be a part of that. I wasn't real happy where I was, and I just thought, man, if I'm ever going to make a move, I mean, Penn State would be the one school that I would consider just because of their history and of high school wrestling, and it's a big school with a lot of support. And so I investigated it, and I kind of just realized that it was the right thing to do, and so I went with it. It was very, very difficult, but I know it was the right thing, so I'm very happy with that decision.
Now, you know, the thing that I like the most about you being at Penn State is you're like 4 hours from my home. And you actually have a stay-away camp, too, and we're looking at coming up there for your team camp this summer. I've retired, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to make these kids go to camp. Cale, I can't thank you enough for coming on. Let me just ask you a couple of questions also about coaching. What age do you think kids are the best? I mean, we have kids in our federation around here in Northern Virginia, Metropolitan D.C. and Maryland that start as early as 5 or 6 years old. And then we have kids, you know, that wait. My son started when he was 11. We went to the World Cup at George Mason University, probably about the time that you were getting out of college. And it was Iran, Russia, the United States, and Cuba. And I want to say there were like 6, 7 world champions wrestling together in that competition. I took my son. We went 2 days. And on the last day, we walk out. And he tugs my arm. He goes, Daddy, I want to do that. And I'm like, Davis, you know, that's not like soccer or baseball or anything. You're going to get your butt kicked every day for a little while. You might even feel like crying. But if you'll do it and not quit, I'll start coaching again. And that's when I got back into coaching. And my son went to a pretty high level, although he's playing baseball in college now because he's got a really good arm. But I got to tell you, what you said earlier about what the good thing about the kids, let me tell you something. Any kid that's ever gone through an entire season with me, I know them on a first-name basis. They always call when they grow up. They come by the room. You know what I'm talking about. You can trust that kid with anything. You can leave your kids with him. You can ask him to do things you wouldn't ask anybody else to do because you can rely on him. That is the self-discipline I think that wrestling provides that none of the other team sports do. What do you think about that?
Just about the you know, what makes wrestling great? Is that the question or –
Yeah, I mean, you know, what is it that separates it? Is it the fact that these kids work so hard? And what, I can't remember who said it. It might have been Dan Gable. He said, once you've wrestled, you can do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, the only thing more true than that is would be once you coach, you can do anything.
Oh,
you
God.
Know, coaching's a lot harder than competing, I believe, because, you know, you're in managing several – or not managing, that's probably not the right word, but trying to help several kids that come from different backgrounds and have different realities. But, yeah, I think wrestling, I mean, there's something about it. It just builds confidence. Even if you're, you know, not winning matches, it's a confidence booster. And I would agree. I mean, the kids that I went to high school with and grew up wrestling with, I could see them tomorrow, and it would be like, you know, we hadn't been away from each other for a day. I mean, we just, you know, we're very – you know, you just build great relationships, whereas I love football, and that's probably what I miss more about high school than anything else was just football.
You love
but,
my
you know,
show,
it's not,
then.
It's not the same.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're absolutely right. In football, you can hide certain guys that aren't great players if you surround them with people that can do their job maybe a little bit better. The thing that I'm amazed about with wrestling is – And I remember, look, when I wrestled in college, I was 16 when I went to college. I ended up walking on, making a team. I won the conference twice. The thing about it was is that people asked me, they says, well, do you remember all these wins? You know, it's like over 100 wins. I said, you know, I don't remember many of the wins. I just remember all the losses. Because you actually learn, Cale, from losing. That's what I tell kids, especially the kids that lose. You know, I said, look, you know, don't worry about it. We're just going to use this as a learning experience. Life is like that, too. Wrestling, to me, mirrors life, maybe more than any other sport there is. And that's why – now, listen, do you, is there anywhere or is there a petition these people can sign and help support wrestling? Or it's probably all over the internet anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I would have to look, but there are several petitions, and you know, there's Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts to Save Olympic Wrestling, and it's, you know, had a, you know, an unbelievable response. So if and I think the other thing too is just the integrity of the games. You're talking about, you know, one of the ancient sports, you know, one of the beginning sports of mankind, a history that's a part of the history of mankind, and you know, you can have 15 board members with no set criteria or any accountability vote a sport out of the Olympics. That's just not right. You know, that's not what sports are about. That's not what the Olympics are about. I mean, the Olympic motto is, and the creed is about sportsmanship. You know, and you
right.
expect that the leaders would, you know, sportsmanship is fair play, and that's being honest and open. And you know, if there's certain things, yeah, tell us. But so, you know, even if you're a sports fan, I mean, it just kind of gives you the idea, well, there's not anything that's really safe. And you know, especially when, the, you know, the IOC has had hints of corruption in the past of, you know, taking bids and, or I mean, taking gifts and different things. So, you know, you got to be open and honest. And you know, I think when 12 people making decisions that affect 7 billion people's Olympic Games, it's, you know, there needs to be some accountability.
Well, I tell you what, Cale, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show this week and talking to us about this. Listen, good luck against Ryder. I'm going to be in touch, Cale, because I'm going to be coming up there. Definitely. I think you got one other home match after this, don't you?
Actually, this is it.
This is your last one? Is it senior day?
Yeah, last one. Senior night.
Is
senior
it really?
Day, yep.
All right, Cale. Cale Sanderson, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Cale, so much.
Yep, thanks, Bruce, and thanks, everybody.
You got it, buddy. Cale Sanderson, four-time NCAA champ, Olympic champion, great coach at Penn State University, getting ready to take on his last home foe, Ryder University, at home tonight. And it's senior night. If you're anywhere near Happy Valley, get your butt up there and watch it. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS for the first time in generations. The dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce. We'll be back in a minute.
Time over at Johnny's place. Well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't want to know, forget her. The boys are back in town.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Hey, Roy, sorry about that, but I've been so excited for the last half hour talking to Cale Sanderson from Penn State University. You know, it's unbelievable what's happened to wrestling with the IOC. And, you know, Cale brought up something there at the end. You know, really, integrity isn't something the IOC needs to talk much about because they've been caught so many times cheating. You know what I mean? Different people, yeah. Different people. You know, recently, what was it, soccer? You know, World Cup soccer / professional soccer. They're finding out now that thousands of games have been fixed. Great. You know, that's nice. Yeah. You know, it sounds like the
that's always good.
It sounds like the Lyndon Johnson administration. Anyway,
yeah.
I can say that. You can't.
Well, along with the wrestling, along with wrestling and the IOC being taken out, there's a lot of other controversy going on. I was wondering if he was going to touch on it all. But the women's long jump, the ski team, has been trying to petition for, I don't know, I think it's
it's easy for you to say. Hey, Roy.
Brandon.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. We're having a hard time picking you up. He's going to work on it. But what you were talking about was they're having a hard time, I guess, with the women's. When you say long jump, you're talking about in track and field or whatever. You know what we're going to do? We're going to talk real quick. Oh, we got a caller? Oh, it's Roy. Hey, Roy.
Hey.
Hey, we got to call her, but it's you.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, go on.
I was wondering.
Continue.
I don't know what you heard of what I said, but I was wondering.
Here's what it sounded like. Go ahead. Now, you were saying something about the long jump, the women's long jump?
Yeah, the women's long jump team, they were granted a position in the 2016 Olympics.
Right.
And
are we talking about track and field?
Maybe it wasn't 2016. Maybe it was 2012.
Yeah.
And no, it was a women's ski jump.
Oh, well, that's Winter Olympics. That's,
yeah, it was.
Unless it's figure skating or hockey, I really don't care.
No, but,
no,
but what
just
I was
kidding.
What I was. They gave. They were granted a spot by the
curling
by the Olympic Committee, and then it was taken away like a couple days later. And they've been petitioning to get back in, and one of the women who is on the team is the world record holder for the ski jump.
Right.
So she is. So it's like having a sport in the Olympics and not having the best person at that sport even in the Olympics with the women out. And so I was just wondering if he was going to bring anything up because that's been an ongoing fight.
Yeah. No. Knowing Cale, between that and Penn State University wrestling, he's probably got his hands full.
If the wrestling committee is going to attack it the right way, then you have to tie in with the other sports who are being, you know, catching the small end of the stick as well.
Well, what they're doing right now is Iran, Russia, and all of the other countries, France, a lot of them are going to come on board with the United States about wrestling. Because, look, I mean, besides the marathon, wrestling was like the oldest sport there was.
They're
not going to stop running the marathon last time I checked. Yeah. Not that it's a super exciting thing to watch. I mean, you know, even with, you know, technology and television and all that, you got to be pretty fired up to love the marathon, okay?
Because the other show that I do on Wednesday nights out at Second, both of my co-hosts were D1 wrestlers, one at WVU, the other one at Slippery Rock. So
yeah,
we
Slippery
hammered
Rock
this topic,
has since like, dropped the damn program.
Yeah, he was very upset. I mean, he was talking. He tied that into this, saying that, like, you know, you grow up, you train your entire life. There's no professional wrestling, really. I mean, there's the WWE, but that's not, everybody knows that's not real.
The
professional wrestling is the Olympics. You know, that's what you train your entire career. And he was wondering about a drop off of wrestling participants, the trickle down effect that this could have.
Well, you know,
moving
what?
Forward, where
it could have a trickle down effect, but to be honest with you, the majority of kids who are wrestling now, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, 99.9% of them are not going to get to even the next level. You'd be surprised how few. You know, I've had some pretty good teams. I've only got one Division I kid in the last 2 or 3 years now. I built a program. It's not like I'm Robinson or Westfields. But South Lakes High School, I mean, I've got Ryan Forrest, who's a George Mason redshirt in this year. He's going to be a good college wrestler. You know, he'll be a freshman next year because of his redshirt year this year. But, I mean, he's tough as hell, but he is one in 500. You know, I mean, there just aren't that many kids that can walk out on a mat and win 50 matches in a row and get second in the state. But Ryan did. The kids, you know, wrestling, and I didn't get a chance to talk to Cale about it that much because I didn't want to waste any time talking about anything that wasn't related to the subject so much. Mm-hmm. But he's from Utah. Utah high school wrestling is some of the best in the country. You know, it's just a lot of kids from Utah end up in Big Ten schools. Their best wrestlers don't stay at the University of Utah. They go to Michigan State. They go to Iowa. They go to Iowa State. You know what I'm saying? They go to Oklahoma State. Penn State now. They you know, Cornell, if they've got good grades. It's a very small group of people. There are the chances of you being an Olympic wrestler are so much harder or so much worse than being an NFL football player or being a Major League Baseball player. It's just not, you know, you're better, you have a better chance of making the major leagues or playing in the NFL than you do of ever wrestling in the Olympics. That's why it should be kept. It's so hard to get there. Some of the greatest wrestlers I've ever known made it to the second match of Olympic trials. And they were the best guy I ever worked out with. You know, Lonnie Gallagher's like that. He's from Herndon, Virginia. He lost to Wayne Wells 2 out of 3 matches to go to the 68 Olympics. Well, Wayne Wells won a gold medal, the guy that beat him. See what I'm saying?
Well, they talk about it not having enough revenue and the TV.
Well, the hell with revenue. It's an amateur event, for Christ's sake. We're not asking anybody to make wrestling a sport where it's professional. It's not professional. They raise
that's why they're
all their
rid
money.
Of it out of the Olympics. That's part of the reason for getting it out of the Olympics is because not enough people are watching it, and there's not enough money, and there's not enough sponsors.
They are watching synchronized swimming and badminton. Are you trying to tell me it's all politics, Roy? There's not enough wrestling people involved at the IOC level. Half of their damn staff.
When you put wrestling on at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to get views. Anything that goes on at 3 o'clock in the morning.
When does wrestling go on at 3 o'clock in the morning?
When at the Olympics. At the Olympics, the wrestling matches were scheduled for 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, and you see swimming events Phelps in a qualifying.
Roy, I hate to interrupt you. When you got to the medal rounds, they were on at prime time. And you got to also understand something else, too. Where were the Olympics last time? Weren't they in London?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's 6 hours, 5 hours earlier anyway, or later. So they're going to be on later if they're live. But when they showed the medal rounds, you know, a lot of people knew what happened because of technology already. They still showed them at prime time. It's just that we knew who won. That's all. You know, and that doesn't have anything to do with anything. Look, if they're going to get into stuff like that.
I think that has a lot to do with everything.
Yeah, but you know what? How many people do synchronized swimming professionally? I don't even think it is a professional sport.
I'm not saying that. I'm talking Subway and, you know, Nike and Gatorade. How many of those guys are after the wrestlers, whereas Michael Phelps controlled the media?
Sure he did. Well, he's also Michael Phelps, and that's swimming. And swimming will never go away because everybody swims. If you can't swim, if you can't swim, you're going to freaking drown. Hey, we're going to be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS. You're listening to Bruce Hall and Roy G on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be right back.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back. This is Bruce Hall. I got Roy G on the line. Roy, let's talk Yankees.
Yeah.
Let's talk Yankees. It's a painful subject in New York right now because, God, it's been a long time since they won a ring.
It's from all the
arthritis,
right? It's from all the arthritis, right?
You know what? I'm going to tell you. Well, they do have the largest average age in the league, and I want to say it's like 34.9 years, which it seems really young considering some of their guys are in their 40s. but you know, this past week, CC Sabathia threw a little flat ground. From what I understood, he bounced everything, but he felt okay. He was pain-free, which is a good sign after elbow surgery. Yeah. He ended up having arthroscopic surgery he had like a bone spur on his elbow. And, you know, when you're 300 pounds and you're as big as he is and you throw as hard as he is, you need to get that bone spur the heck out of there. And they did. And he should be okay. I mean, I'm not sure if he's going to be ready for opening day, but I think he will be. You know, I'm just sitting here looking at their roster right now. You know, they got Jobba Chamberlain back. He's on the roster. They got Philip Hughes. He's a starter. They got Hiroki Kuroda. He's a starter. Andy Pettit, Ivan Nova. I mean, these guys are all quality starters.
Was 1999.
But Nova's young.
No, I know.
Pettit's going to give you maybe 20 starts, maybe. 15.
I mean, the team is coming back from so many injuries and so many. There's just so many question marks surrounding this team. I mean, you look at Jeter, you look at A-Rod, CC Sabathia, Mariano Rivera is coming back from a torn ACL. You mentioned Jobba Chamberlain. Well, you know, he missed a lot of time last year due to injury. And was he jumping on a trampoline? He like broke his ankle or something. I mean, there's just so much surrounding this team that
Jobba has problems. Hey, but last year their big deal was when they got Michael Pineda from Seattle and paid him all that money. Right? He was a free agent. They didn't trade. I mean, he was a free agent. They signed him. He was out for the entire year. So, I mean, he never got to compete. He's back this year. And, you know, chances are with a year off, he's going to have plenty of arm. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, are his mechanics right? You know, is he going to be able to jump back into where he was in 2011? I mean, this guy in 171 innings, and it was his first year in the majors with Seattle. You know what? He must have been a trade. Well, no, he could have been a free agent. But anyway, he was 9-10, 3.74 ERA in 171 innings. He only gave up 133 hits. He walked 55 batters, which is like you know, 2.8 per game, per nine innings, struck out 173 batters. Mm-hmm. His whip was a tiny 1.10, and his average against was only 211. This guy, if he's healthy, and if Nova is healthy, and if CC gets healthy, you know, they're going to be, you know, remember I picked them to win it last year. I was embarrassed. But now they did get beat up, and they did get hurt. But you know what? Baltimore Orioles were on a mission last year. I mean, and so was their manager, Buck Showalter, who, you know, used to manage for the Yankees. I mean,
I mean, the Orioles were the Orioles didn't end up catching the Yanks, but and I mean, the Yankees, we talk about the injuries and the question marks surrounding the bullpen and the starters, but their batting average was top 10 in the league. Their runs scored, on-base percentage, and slugging percentage were all top 5 in the league. In fact, they led the league last year in slugging percentage.
Well, it was pitching. I mean, it was all pitching.
So,
you know, who do they remind you of? I mean, they remind me of Detroit. And Detroit has a very similar team. Now, Detroit's a little different this year because they made some changes. And they got some guys in there. You know, didn't Torrey Hunter go to – he's in Detroit. He's 38 years old. You know, but in Detroit, it's like a men's softball team. That's what I told you they reminded me of. That's what the Yankees remind me of. Don't they remind you of a men's softball team that's just really good? I mean, you know, because they can hit the ball out.
They are. They're an offense. They're the Bronx Bombers again.
They are the Bronx Bombers. It's a tiny little place to play, too.
It's a little T-ball park. But if they can get their pitching staff better, you know, then this team could be dangerous again. But like I said, there's so many question marks surrounding this team. They were 12th last year in ERA with a 3.85, which isn't bad. But they were 19th in the league in quality starts.
Yeah, but you're not gonna win. You're not gonna win a pennant with a 3.85 ERA. You're just not gonna do it. Nobody does.
No, you're not.
Nobody does. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look,
and now you're talking about your ace coming back from a minor surgery, but still, whenever your guy goes under the knife, there's going to be question marks.
And he's no spring chicken either. Brett Gardner is back. Yeah. Now, Brett Gardner started out last year. You know, he was hitting .323. His on-base was .417 after 16 games, and he was done. They made the trade for Ichiro. Ichiro hit .322 as a Yankee. I mean, Ichiro Suzuki is a freak, and he's not going to hurt him. Jeter had arguably hit the best year he's had in years. He hit .316. His on-base average was .362. Granted, he did get hurt at the end of the year.
He break his ankle or he tear some ligaments?
Yeah, he did. He broke his ankle. But he's back, and everybody says he looks fine. Robbie Cano had a down year for Robbie Cano. It still ended up being a decent year. 48 doubles, 33 home runs, 94 RBIs. You know, he had 61 walks, only 96 punch outs, hit .313, .370. Now, Robbie Cano is he's the best second baseman in the major leagues. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the rest of their lineup, even Chavez had a good year. He had 348 OBA. He had 16 bombs. He was platooned regularly and played third base and first base. A-Rod, please, I don't even want to talk about him. Nick Swisher, they did not pay. They let him go. Was that a good move or not? A lot of people don't think it was. I mean, in a lot of ways, Swish was one of their most consistent hitters. And he can play right field, left field, or first base. I don't know
that he would have come with a big paycheck.
Which has never been
a problem for the Yankees, but I don't know. I feel like he's an expendable. You have so many big games.
He better be because they let him go. Mark Teixeira, God knows what's going on with him. I mean, this is a guy that, in my opinion, probably juiced at one time several years ago, is not juicing anymore, and he's in a downspin. I mean, look at him. He's a monster. He's got a big head. You know me. And he's just got all the look. Doesn't Teixeira, do you look like he's possibly going to lose 50 games at any time? Just does to me. Like Andy Pettit, speaking of the devil, who went 1-for-4 last year. Anyway, hey, they got Chris Stewart, one of my best buddies with the Giants. Stu ain't going to hit, but he's a good receiver. Raul Imbanez, you know, he struggled last year. Granderson, there's the guy that could make the difference. If Curtis Granderson hits 350, 360 OBA and still keeps the power he had with 43 home runs, there's another guy. 50 games just waiting to happen. What do you think, Roy?
I mean,
you think Granderson is visiting the clinic in Boca Raton or wherever the hell it is? Hey,
I like to hope that that part of baseball is
forget about it. I'm going to guess 30-40% of them are doing it. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I've got Roy Edwards on the line. We'll be back in a minute with more on AM 1230 WFAS. She's my pride and joy. She's my sweet little baby. I'm a little lover boy.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Oh, Roy. Well, the Yankees did win the American League East last year. The 95-67 record, but sure seemed like they didn't play that well. I guess down the stretch,
they were
banged up, too.
Yeah, they're very streaky.
Now, Baltimore's not going to win 93 games this year. I don't see it. Tampa Bay, they're going to be somewhere between 85 and 90 probably. Toronto, everybody's expecting them to, like, win 85, 90 games this year. Let me explain something to everybody. For that to happen, that means Boston's going to have to win, like, 50. And, you know, Boston's not that good, but they're not that bad either. I mean, I don't see Toronto winning the division. I think Baltimore's probably going to be right around 500. What do you think? I think the Yankees win 95 games this year. And I think Baltimore wins like 85.
Baltimore will take a step back.
Yeah.
That there's no question that that's going to happen. I mean, they were winning last year with what you like to call smoke and mirrors. I mean, the numbers weren't there for what they were doing.
They were winning with pitching, and they were winning with a lot of one-run games.
Yeah, and I mean, it's tough to win one-run games. It's tough. And somehow they were able to do it over and over and over and over again last year. I think they're going to take a step back.
That doesn't mean that
they're not going to be competitive. I think they're going to be competitive. I think they're going to be good. I don't think they're going to be fighting for the division like they were last year.
They lost Mark Reynolds. I mean, that's not a lot. I mean, that's a lot of pop you don't replace. But having said that, they got some decent youth. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to be all right. Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I'm not a Tampa Bay fan. I really don't think they're going to win it ever again. I think anybody that plays indoors in a dark place needs to find a life, and the owners there should just beat up that stadium and build something decent with a roof outside, raise some money, do something. The Red Sox, they'll come back eventually, but it's going to be a while. I don't see it anytime soon, do you?
I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays, they're going to be a contender. They have a lot of good talent still left on that team in Price, and you know, they have one of the best shortstops in the game. I just there's so much talent in this division now, especially with Toronto loading up the way it did, and the Red Sox made room for younger talent. They got rid of Yuke. You know, they shipped off a lot of guys to the Dodgers. So they're going to be a completely different team. And youth can be bad in the sense that, you know, you don't have any experience and the jitters, but youth can also be a really good thing, where sometimes you don't know who you're facing. You don't really take a second to really understand the situation you're in. Sometimes youth can be, you know, blind. So the Red Sox going up there wearing a Red Sox uniform, going against, you know, CC Sabathia and some of these big names from the Yankees in Toronto, that youth from the Sox could carry them. I don't know how far, but we saw the Orioles do it last year. So
yeah, but the Orioles had something the Red Sox don't have. The Orioles had pitching, and they still have pitching. They really haven't lost anybody.
Well, at the beginning of last season, nobody thought the Orioles had pitching. They got rid of Jeremy Guthrie.
Nobody but the Orioles. I mean, that's the one thing that they didn't have to replace. I mean, the problem the Orioles had was they had a problem scoring runs. And then they started, you know, hell, they lost their best hitter, what, 3 weeks before the end of the season? Yeah. I mean, you know, they stayed close with one or two of their best guys out. They did it with a future Hall of Fame shortstop that played third base and made a difference. I think they're going to be good. Let's go to the Central Division real quick. I just want to look at where the wins aren't going to be, because I think this is, you know, Detroit's going to win this division. The White Sox have a chance to keep it close, but the White Sox were out in front last year and they blew it. They're not going to be any better, in my opinion. Kansas City is Kansas City.
I like Detroit a lot.
Well, you like Detroit. I was there. They're a men's softball team, trust me. Now, they have some talent there. They did make some changes in the offseason. They still have decent pitching. But, you know, like Valverde's gone. You know, they've got rid of him. They released him. A lot of people think he should end up in Miami or somewhere like that. And he's probably going to get a job. I mean, you know, a guy that has 35 to 45 saves pretty much every year is going to get a job somewhere. Probably make $3 or $4 or $5 million on a one-year deal. Kansas City has a minor league worth watching, but they have no pitching. They're not going to do anything. Cleveland has got Terry Francona. They've made, you know, they've got Michael Bourne. They've made some changes to their roster that are going to do nothing but help them. But how much will it help? The Minnesota Twins pitching is so bad you can't even use them in the same sentence with winning. They're not going to win.
The Twins have taken a major step back in just a couple of years.
Well, you know, that's ownership and that's money. And you know what? They're not, you know, they got their new stadium. They do have a decent fan base, but
they have a great catcher, and that's
But he's not going to catch much more because they can't afford to put him back there because they don't need any more concussions. I just think that the Twins are done for a while. You know, the Twins might be a good team to look at moving. You know, I mean, would you want to be in Minnesota? I would want to be in Minnesota.
I don't think they're going anywhere.
You don't?
Not after building Target Stadium. Not after building that.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of things in debt out there right now.
Hey, you know what? The Vikings sure did turn it around, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Vikings turned it around, and they just gave their head coach a 4-year extension. All right.
I mean, that's the reason why the Sacramento Kings. You're talking about moving, building new stadiums. The Sacramento Kings, you know, by all reports, said that they're moving to Seattle to be the SuperSonics again. But they are like some $60 million in debt or something because they just built a stadium a couple of years ago. So
all right, let's do this. Let's pick Detroit to win that division. Chicago is going to be 5 or 6 games back.
I'm good with that.
In the West, God, this is interesting.
Now we add Houston to this, don't we?
Yeah. Well, Houston is in the Central, right?
Are they in Central or are they in the West?
I think they're in the Central Division. Hold on.
Because if they were in the West, that would make them the 5th team. In that division.
I don't think they're in the West. I'm pretty sure they're in the Central. And, you know, I should know the answer to that, but you know what? I don't even care because it's Houston.
They're moving to the AL. But that's our boy, Porter,
right?
Yeah,
but wherever they go, they're not going to be a contender. Doesn't matter.
I think they'll be a lot better this year.
Houston?
They've got Bo Porter out there, man.
Bo Porter's going to need some time.
I'm not saying that they're going to be in contention for a playoff.
Have you seen their minor league system? Look, I know the Corpus Christi guys. Hey, I know the guys that own the Corpus Christi Hooks. I know the guy. I mean, they're terrible. They don't get anybody from their minor league system, hardly at all. They don't even get good pitching. You know who used to run the Hooks? Nolan Ryan's group. They got rid of it. As soon as Nolan became the president of the Texas Rangers, He got away. He just let all of his Houston assets go. Oakland is going to be good. Oakland's going to be good. Texas, you know how I feel about Texas. They'll probably win now that Josh isn't there. And the Angels, everybody thinks they're going to be world beaters. I don't see it. Do you? I don't see it.
I mean, the Oakland pitching staff is just – there's a lot there. You know?
I know. Well, they're young, too.
The Washington Nationals, they got a lot of great young talent out there. But, I mean, the Angels are going to be better. You know, Albert Pujols.
Well, do me a favor. Pick a team. I'm going to pick a team. You tell me who's going to win the West today.
I got the Angels.
You like the Angels? All right. I'm going to take. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take Texas. I think they're going to win because Josh is gone. I think that they're just not going to have to worry about. That's a little bit of baggage they don't need. All right, here we go. You like Washington, Atlanta, or Philly? Because the Mets and Miami are years away from the playoffs. Right now, mm-hmm.
I like it in the exact order you just said. I have these teams finishing the exact same way that they finished last year: Washington, Atlanta, Philadelphia, New York, Miami.
I'm going to change that.
Well, let me rephrase that: Washington, Atlanta,
uh-huh.
Then a long ways away, Philadelphia, then an even longer ways away, New York, and then somewhere near the bottom of the league, Miami.
That's probably accurate. All right, how about the Central? You got the Cincinnati Reds, who. You know, every time I look at them, they look better. Joey Votto's healthy, hopefully for them. St. Louis, in my opinion, got lucky. They just lost one of their greatest starting pitchers ever for the season. You know, I like Cincinnati again. Milwaukee put them in the bottom. They got no pitching. They lost even more pitching. They have Cheater there. I think the strike zone gets very big for Ryan Braun this year. I think he's going to punch out more than he ever dreamed. Pittsburgh is actually pretty good. I like Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I have it: Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Milwaukee.
You know what? That's exactly what I've got. I got Houston and the Cubs.
I think St. Louis misses it.
All right, we got 1 minute left, Roy. Let's keep going. My favorite division. We talked to Jess Root today. With the Arizona Diamondbacks. He thinks that they're going to be better than last year. I certainly hope so. I like San Francisco beating up the $250 million Los Angeles Dodgers. I just don't think the Dodgers are deep enough with pitching. San Francisco is so deep with pitching, they're thinking about putting Timmy in the pen as a closer. Mm-hmm. Arizona, if they win 85 games, they'll have a good season. San Diego sucks. Colorado sucks. What do you think?
Yeah, same. It's
going to
end up
San Francisco?
I think the Dodgers and San Francisco, they closed the gap a little bit this year. I don't think it's the 8 games back that they finished, but I think it'll be a lot closer, but I mean, San Francisco has too much pitching.
All right, hey, I've enjoyed it, Roy. We'll talk to you. We'll see you next week. You've just been listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. Be safe out there, people.